B65. Number 2A.
Same as a teacher that one knows it and one doesn't. Do you know what structure means?
Please tell us. Give about 14 definitions.
Okay. If you take the study aid on page 115, you get quite a lot definitions and indications of structure. Page 115. Well, let's read together what we have there, so that after so many years of talking about structure and talking structure, that we know what it means. So it comes from structura, meaning to arrange. So we see at once that structure has to do with arrangement, which naturally has to do with relationships. You cannot have arrangement without relationships. So that not facts are so important, but relationships are important. You see, this is absolutely new consciousness. Up to now, the whole world has always been at large been taught to know facts. Here a fact, there a fact, this is a fact, there's a fact. And the more facts you knew, the more you knew. Until one found out that the more facts one knew, the less one knew. You see, we are in a period in the world history of knowledge, of epistemology, that is terrific. It's a terrific break that takes place in the whole world. That for thousands of years, to think that the more facts, single phenomena we know, the more we know. Now we find out that that is not true. That actually the relationships between facts are the important thing. And that they are really substance, that they are really something. And you can see that the moment we are reasoning in relationships, we really lift the whole physical universe out of the physical into a mental, metaphysical universe. Because then no more things are important, but relationships. Relationships can be expressed in information. Therefore, the whole cybernetic age today is a mental age, no more a physical age. Because the information flow between facts are the most important thing. So we come out, what they say, of a substantialistic universe into a metaphysical universe. And this breaks on us, and we have to see the signs of the time and adjust ourselves and see that our science only will work when we begin to think in relationships. Yes? And no more in atomistic single truth. Now, as we have made a solemn vow, no more to think in an atomistic way, naturally you should have some criteria to see when you are thinking in atomistic ways. What is one or the other criteria? You can see that very easily. You just watch yourself or watch what you are talking with a fellow man in science. Let's say in science. The moment you watch yourself and you say to yourself, I wonder what this verse in the Bible means, then you know that you are thinking atomistically. You are one verse taken out of the whole Bible, or out of a whole book of the Bible, and you wonder what it means. Then you think atomistically. Yes? Are you swearing on it? Yes? Huh? So the whole interest into that thing is atomistic. Well, you can have that interest, it doesn't kill you. Or nearly doesn't, not quite kill you. Huh? But at the last end, it will kill us. Huh? Because it's taken out of the whole. We break up the whole. If you are discussing and wondering, really, what Mrs. Eddy meant when she said this and this and this, whatever it is, you know? You wonder, what did she mean with it? What she meant with it, if you take it out of the whole, it's atomistic. And you know you are spending your brain and your thinking and your time and your energy and your life and everything for nothing. Yeah? See, that's new. Just think back into the Christian Science field. What were they doing? For a whole while they were interested in the textbook, way back at the beginning of the century. They read the textbook. And little by little they found out that they never really understand what is in the textbook. And that there must be something more about it. Some tricks must be, some mysterious tricks. And then came that whole period in the 20s and 30s and 40s where they were searching after single statements of Mrs. Eddy, you know. Papers were passed around, Wilcox paper was passed around, Bicknell-Young papers were passed around. Outside of the textbook, they were seeking for a higher answer. And they were passing around these atomistic papers and things like that. Never led anywhere. See? That's taking something out of the whole. We have in the textbook the whole structure of being. Therefore, if we want to make any progress spiritually, we have to stick to the categories that are shown in the textbook, and not to try to use other categories. And naturally, that we come back to the interpretation of the textbook. But we are, first of all, investigating what structure means. So can you see, you can watch yourself very easily to say what I'm concerned with mentally in my study. Am I running after gnats, trying to catch one? And then when you got it, see how many legs it has and how heavy it is and so on, or are we going after camels? Structure from structura means to fit together. Now this is important, huh? It means, again, fitting together, you can see that it is showing the relationship of two or more things so that they are whole. Huh? If it fits, it makes one. Huh? So again, you begin to see that it has to do with relationship of ordering. It says here, structure has to do with ordering things. You know that definition of science that is always so simple, that it says science is not a fact-finding ability. Not a fact-finding ability, but it is a fact-ordering ability. Now, mostly we were trying to find facts and not to order them. So the moment John Dowley started for the first in the movement to say, golly, these ideas must have order. Well, this was the falling apple, really, of Newton. Huh? From that point on, the whole thing developed. It couldn't stop anymore. Since that time, 1914, 15, up to the present moment, the idea of science developed. You can see the power that lies in a good concept of structure, of finding relationships. So relationships are not just relationships. They have within themselves, they have the genius of creativity. And it lies really the whole creative drive that brings one point to the next point. The electrons to an atom, the atoms to the molecules to the cells to the organ to the organism, until it ends with the whole world. From the organism it goes on to organize people in a society, in a country, and organizing until finally it ends up with the whole world. So order is a powerful thing. And if we negate that and just are running after single facts and investigate and analyze single facts, we're going into the wrong direction. All right. Now, Webster defines structure as the interrelationships of parts. Can you see constantly relationship, interrelationships, that structure of parts, as dominated by the general character of the whole. This is a very clear-cut and very good definition, actually. See, what does it say? It is not only the interrelationship of parts, so that we can ad lib combine parts with parts. That's combinatorics. Combinatorics means you combine at random, not on the basis of laws. So combinatorics is that which never brings us to structure. You watch the students of Christian Science. Most is combinatorics. They take up here a fact or there a fact, and then they try to put them together. See a relationship between them, see something of the same nature or an analogy for something else. It's combinatorics. And that runs then afterwards on the science. The more combinations you make, the more science you have. And you don't have. That relationship says it's a relationship of parts as dominated by the general character of the whole. That must be the criterion for combination. You cannot just combine. You know, sometimes it's hair-raising what one hears and reads on combinations, all under the sign of this is science. It isn't. You can't just combine facts with facts ad lib. This is combinatorics, not structure. Structure says you can only combine so that the whole is reflected in that combination. Or else you can't. So that order, say, is reflected in that combination. You take for... Yes, Cyril?
I don't know that word, combinatorics.
Yeah, it's...
How do you spell
it? It's on page 111.
He knows
it. Calculus, as the counterfeit of calculus 2, it's spelled there.
Yeah. Thank you. But it's good that at least she knows what I have in my books. All right, there.
Would you repeat, before the question was asked, you made a statement that the structure can only combine so that the whole is...
If it's dominated by the general character of the whole. For instance, a big point. We have seven synonymous terms. Combinatorics is what? If you have random relationship. You can put those seven synonymous terms in an order at random in a random order. Or let's say it's not more an order, in a random sequence. It's not even a sequence. In a random arrangement. And how many of these can you do? How many of such arrangements? Yeah. if you calculate it according to mathematics, it's 5,040. So you can have 5,040 of this seven synonymous term arrangements. Now the question is does every one of these 5,040 arrangements, do they constitute an order or a category? That's the question. See, the average student will say, naturally they can. If a synonymous term is synonymous term, no matter where you put it. If you put mind, spirit, principle, soul, truth, life, love, they are still the same seven. But they have no relationship that give the general character of a whole, of a category. You see? They don't give you the category of the word, for instance. They don't give you the category of the Christ, or of Christianity or science. So, looked in this way, you can say that only three or four combinations have structure, because they constitute an order in a definite category. The rest of it, the 5,037, are combinatorics, without any meaning. Just counting, or how do you say that, just spelling out the seven synonymous term. And that's what you get in every Christian Science lecture, and that you get all over the place. Isn't it so? Have you ever seen that they have order in when they talk about the synonym? They all talk about the synonym because they have to. They have to do that on two reasons. First of all, because Mrs. Eddy said, the first question is a question of teaching, so you have to teach them. And the second reason is that to show that they know the synonyms too, not only the Dolly students. But it's combinatorics. Does not, you see, can you see how one has to be careful about science? Science is very simple. Once you know that, you have to have your categories. Once you don't know that, you use scientific terms without being scientific. That's the tragedy which we have to meet today for quite a while. Until this becomes clearly seen and seen through, that only that is science which is scientific, not that which is just terms on science. Let's take the next on structure. That's a very good. That's from Wieser. Wieser is a cybernetician, a very well-known cybernetician. You call it cybernetician? Yeah. Structures appear wherever elements, we could say the elements are either ideas or synonymous terms, these are the elements, us, combine into a meaningful whole. You see, it must be meaningful. There is no meaningfulness in stating soul, mind, love, life, truth, spirit, mind. There is no meaning in it. It must be stated in a meaningful whole, whose arrangement follow definite laws. Here you have it. You see, these relationships are bound into a law. Just as Paul would say, I'm in the bonds of the Christ. They must be in bonds of a scientific law, like the law of the Word, or the law of the Christ, or the law of Christianity, or the law of science, or in the law of the Word in absolute Christian science, as life, truth, and love. But there must be a dominant theme, which is scientific, which determines the relationship. Is that too difficult? That's right.
A new word, a theme. You introduced the term theme, T-H-E-M-E.
Yes.
It must be a relationship that is combined under general
laws.
Definite laws.
Yeah.
Definite laws.
Yeah.
That support the theme.
Yeah, that's the theme.
Yeah.
Say the theme. Well, theme is a synonym for it would perhaps be the same subject, a subject. For instance, the subject may be the creativity or the translation. That's a theme, a subject. So you cannot in a theme that says, here is the category of creativity, you cannot put there the creativity in any old order, only in one order. Mind, spirit, soul.
Three governing factors there.
You have governing factors, yes.
Okay.
Yes?
Could you say a little bit more about the difference between statement two and three here? The difference between being dominated by the general character of the whole, it seems to me to be different than combining something into a meaningful whole. Following definite laws.
So yes.
Part one is much more general than the other, and at least I think it may be. What would be the quality of domination, and what is the general character? Say, if we're talking about combining synonyms into the orders, what would be the dominating factor there, and what would be the general character as opposed to the next statement?
For instance, you can take the seven, let's say the Christ order. You have seven. What is the meaningful whole of the Christ order? The meaningful whole is always the same, to translate the generalities to the specifics, principle to idea. This is the theme. Huh? This is the subject. This is the general meaning, a general character of the whole, that it must have a translation sense in it. The other one just elaborates a little bit and says that meaningful whole is an arrangement that follows a definite laws. Well, the definite laws is translating the general to the specific, and not the specific to the general. So you always have that when you look up definitions, you know, of a subject like here, that you get always different wordings. And the one definition perhaps goes a bit further than the other one, or is perhaps a bit more explicit than the other one. That is the right of the one who writes that definition, how far he wants to go. If he wants to write a whole book about it or just a line, or if he likes to put it in three lines, or in two lines. So the main thing is that he doesn't bring in that he brings in that which is the general meaning of it, and not the sidelines.
Yes.
But you can see that they more or less say the same thing, that it's dominated somehow by a category, by a law, by the general meaning of the whole. The other one is also quite a good, that's from a French scientist. A structure is the sum total of relationships. Can you see again, it's relationship. Structure is not the sum total of facts or the sum total of elements. It's of relationships. And which maintains the communication among the various parts of a whole. Here you have it put in a different way, that it's dominated by a general law. Here it says the relationships must be so that all the parts are fitted together and stay together and make a whole. So that they maintain the communication. You see, it's even the communication. It's again the information. Principle. It's most interesting. I read years ago when the cybernetics came up a book on of a philosopher or a logician, let's call it logician, about the logic of cybernetics. And it's most interesting, it has so much to do with what we are doing, he just could show that actually cybernetics will eventually lift the material world out of itself into a information universe, into a mental universe, into a metaphysical universe. He proves, so to say, from his point of view, that matter is a metaphysical proposition and not a material proposition.
You have that under Gestalt in this book on page 112.
Yes. Now, if we go further, perhaps we just take the time to go through these definitions here about structuralism.